A report due out by the International Atomic Energy Agency this week may show the strongest evidence yet that Iran is working on explosives technology that's used to trigger a nuclear weapon. Joining us now is Hans Blix, former Director General for the International Atomic Energy Agency, joining us from Stockholm. Mr. Blix, good morning.
Good morning.
So this report, which I understand you haven't seen, but we discussed it yesterday with David Sanger of The New York Times, is all about how you would trigger a nuclear device, explosive technology that would compress a sphere in the case of a plutonium bomb or some sort of advanced miniaturizing explosive that would be used in a uranium bomb. How specialized is this technology, Hans Blix?
Well, there's been speculation for years that the Iranians are preparing for a bomb. The scientists, I think, are agreed that the most difficult part of making a bomb is actually enrichment. And it's clear that the Iranians have mastered that technology long ago. That doesn't mean that it's easy from that point to make the bomb, but it's probably the less difficult part. Now, what is the evidence that they do it? Well, again, that has been sort of trickling out pieces a long time. And some of it is based on observations of the agency inspectors in Iran. They have been to this place, Parchin, which is a military base and where the Iranians admitted them some 7 years ago. And then they have intelligence coming from member states like the U.S. or others and Israel, presumably. And some of that evidence comes from satellites and objective things, and others come from defectors. And the agency, I think, has to be very cautious in relying and making that information its own, because then it will get greater credibility internationally if the agency says that this is it than if it say we have had this information from member states.
Does it surprise you, Hans Blix, that Iran is attempting to develop these weapons on its own, using its own engineering and technological expertise? Because a lot of this material is available off the shelf, as it were, from AQ Khan or the North Koreans.
Well, they have received the centrifuges came from AJ Khan, and I don't know what they could buy from the North Koreans. Maybe they could buy some there. What surprises me, perhaps, is rather why did they move in this direction? I do not see that Iran is threatened at the present time or recently. Now, I can see that the program of enrichment started very early, sometime in the 80s, perhaps. And at that time, of course, they were in a terrible war with Iraq, and they were suspecting the Iraqis were going for nuclear, which was right. After all, the Israelis bombed the Iraq reactor in 1981. So it wouldn't have been surprising if they at least wanted to build up the option of going for a weapon. But after 1991, Iraq was crushed by the first Bush administration. And then in 2003, they were crushed a second time. So I think that the main enemy was gone, and they do not risk anything from Pakistan or Afghanistan or Turkey or Russia. What they could fear would be the U.S. with cruise missiles from some aircraft carriers in the Gulf or from the Israelis. But if you discount those two, I don't see that they really have anyone against whom they would need a nuclear weapon.
I wonder if the threat calculus is what exactly is sort of wrong with the inspection regime these days, in the sense that what we're seeing more and more is not a government responding to an actual military threat or wanting to change some sort of strategic advantage in its region. But in fact, you're seeing the development of nuclear weapons purely to bolster domestic political credibility within a country. That's certainly the case to some extent in India and Pakistan. It's certainly the case in Iran, and definitely the case in North Korea.
Well, I think you are right. I mean, if they develop a weapon, it may be something which many people in the country are proud. In India and Pakistan, that was certainly the case. What they feel in North Korea, I don't know. But very likely people are divided in Iran. There are different views also in the elite. There are different views. So I think I'm not really siding with those who say that it's clear that they are developing weapons. It may be that many, as many others think, that they want to be close opposed to the option of making a weapon. This is a possibility. But whichever it is, we must ask ourselves, this is surely an unfortunate development because it increases tensions and makes things more dangerous. So what should the world do about it in order to make the Iranians change their course?
Well, Hans Blix, Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, responded precisely to that point on the ABC program this week. Listen, and then I want to ask you your reaction.
The United States should certainly make clear that the President of the United States will consider military action if necessary, because you never want to take that card off the table.
Hans Blix, in your experience with Condoleezza Rice or experience with the nations developing nuclear weapons, is that a responsible statement?
No, I have high regard for Condoleezza Rice, but I don't agree with her always, and I certainly don't agree with her now. I mean, the main reason why the Iranians might want to go for weapons would be that they feel threatened. Now, is then the best method to get them off course to threaten them with bombing? I don't think it sounds very smart. I think, on the contrary, both Iran and also North Korea should know that, yes, they will be squeezed, there will be economic sanctions, they will be isolated, but they do not need a weapon because then no one is going to attack them. So I think it's totally a wrong tactic to go around and say that all options are on the table, which has been a habit for a long time.
Hans Blix, before we go, 5 years from now, will we look back on Iran and think of it as a nuclear power in the way we think of North Korea, or will Iran have stepped back?
Well, I hope it will have stepped back. And this, not so long ago, one thing happened that was slightly positive, and that was a decision by the UN another number of states that there will be a conference about the zone-free
There will certainly be more talking. Hans Blix, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.